Just another opportunity. God, to be behind the sacred desk once again. Dear Lord, it's only by your grace and your mercy, dear Lord, that we are who we are tonight. And dear Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you help us, dear Lord, as we preach what you've laid on our hearts. Dear Lord, we stand in a spot, dear Lord, we stand often, dear Lord, that there's nothing in us, dear Lord, that can do what you've called us to do, dear Lord, but I beg you, dear Lord, just one more time that you'd touch us, just one more time that you'd help us, and we'll give you all the praise and glory and honor that's due under your name. And dear Lord, I pray tonight, dear Lord, if there's one lost, dear Lord, I pray that Holy Ghost conviction, dear Lord, will fall in this tabernacle, dear Lord, that you'd save a sinner, dear Lord, by your marvelous grace. Dear Lord, I pray, dear Lord, for those that may be backslid tonight. Dear Lord, I pray you touch them. Dear Lord, draw them back to your side. Dear Lord, we'll just thank you and praise you for all you've done. I thank you for the service we've had already. Dear God, I pray you help us for the next few moments. In Jesus Christ, we do humbly pray. Amen. Matthew chapter number 27, we see at the closing of Matthew chapter number 26, what has took place with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We see here that he has now been delivered into the hands of evil men. Well, it was no accident, for he told his disciples many times that he would be delivered into the hands of evil men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Now we see that what Jesus said is coming fulfilled right before the very eyes of his disciples. Now notice here that we see that Judas here has done betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And as we get that in our mind tonight, I just want to think for a few moments as we go back up to Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 66. I believe that it may have been that Judas may have saw what is right before our eyes here tonight. I believe he betrayed Christ, no doubt. I believe he may have saw him as they spit in his face, as they hit him with their palm of their hand, and as his heart began to break and his heart began to tremble, that this was on him, that the God that he's been with for 3 years, that the God that has called him and the God that has helped him is now being into the hands of evil men. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 66 of Matthew chapter number 6. It says, "What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." And verse number 67, the Bible says, "And they did spit in his face." That the man said earlier, the man of God said earlier, that we think it not much of dirt, for we all spit on the dirt. I want to say tonight, these men that spit on the face of Christ, they thought that he was worthless as a piece of dirt. Now I want to see here what's happened. They're spitting in the face of our Lord. The Bible says, and they buffed him, and others smote him with the palm of their hand. We see the spitting in verse number 67, at the smiting in verse number 67. But when we come down to verse number 68, we see the speaking of the people. Notice what they spoke unto Christ after they spit in his face and after they smote him with the palm of their hand. He said, saying, "Prophesy unto us that thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" I want to say tonight, little did these men know, not only did Jesus know the action of the very hand, but God knew the action of the very heart. He knew the attitude of their heart as well. And we're here tonight, God knows the very action of your hand tonight, but I want to say tonight that he knows the very attitude of your heart here tonight. For man looks on the outward appearance, but it is God that looks upon the heart. I want to say these men couldn't trick God. These men couldn't play a trick on him, for he's the one that knew the very hairs of their head. He said their number. He was the one that created them. Now we see that the creation is now coming against the Creator, and now they're going to crucify him. But now we go down to verse number 20, or chapter 27 tonight. The Bible says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then verse number 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he, when Christ was condemned, repented himself. There's something wrong with Judas already. He repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. Verse number 4, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Now notice all through the crucifixion of Christ and the trial of Christ that Pilate said many times, I find no fault in him. But before Pilate did not really know Christ. Pilate was just a man looking on the outside and looking into Christ. But notice here, here's one of the innocency of Christ that is more of all. For Judas was the one that walked with Christ. Judas was the one that spent many days and many years with Christ. And it was him that betrayed him. He said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. I want to say he's still innocent today. He did no sin and knew no sin. The Bible says neither was guile found in his mouth. He's perfect tonight. And notice here, even the enemies, even the sinner tonight, if they're true in their heart, they know the innocent of Christ. Notice, he said, I've betrayed the innocent blood. Notice here, the people that was his friend, back in Matthew chapter 26, is now coming against him. Notice what they say unto Judas. They said, what is it to us? See thou to that. And then notice in verse number 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver into the temple and departed, and he hanged himself. Now notice just a little bit about Judas, and I'm going to hurry tonight, but I want to look at Judas, for he was one of the disciples of Christ. Jesus said, I've chosen 12, and one of you is the devil. I want to say tonight that Judas was a disciple of Christ, but more than that, he was a devil as well. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Well, I want to say there's probably some devils in here as well. You say, I don't believe that. We're in a Baptist camp meeting tonight. There's some devils in the house of God tonight. And Judas here, he's labeled a devil. Notice here tonight that Judas was not only a devil, but Judas lived a double life. He was a double-minded man. But the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So notice here tonight that not only is he a devil, but he is living a double life. Now, I want to say, not only is there some devils under the tabernacle tonight, but there's also some double-lived people under the house as well. You can put on a tie, you can put on a skirt down to your knees, or down to the floor rather, and you're still lost and dying and going to hell. I want to say tonight, you must be born again. Now, notice here tonight that not only was he a disciple, he lived a double life, but he was a devil. Now notice tonight, you say, preacher, I don't like what you're saying about Judas. That don't matter tonight. God said that he was a devil. Notice not only that tonight, but Jesus tells us and teaches us through reading the Gospels that he traveled with Christ. He fellowshipped with Christ. He was a traveler with Christ, but he also was a thief and a traitor as well. I want to say he may have looked good to the other 11, but to the Son of God, he knew exactly what he was. And you can put on a good show tonight in front of this preacher and in front of your preacher, but you can't fool God. He knows exactly what you're doing. He knows exactly who you are on the inside. Man only sees the outward appearance, but God knows the heart. Now notice here tonight that Jesus said in John chapter 12, notice here in verse number 4, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why is not this ointment sold for 300 pieces and given to the poor? And now notice verse 6, if you're there, John chapter 12, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. So a little bit about Judas tonight. He's a disciple. He lived a double life. He was a devil. He traveled with Christ. He heard the teaching of Christ. But he was a traitor. And he also was a thief. Now notice tonight what the Bible says in verse number 3 of Matthew 24. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver unto the chief priest. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 14. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest. He went somewhere he had no business going. For sin or saved people have no company with the lost people. You don't agree with me tonight? I have no business going down to the ABC store. And if you're saved by grace, you have no business having fellowship with a lost man because he'll bring you down. Now notice here, Judas had no business in being where he was. He went unto the chief priest and they brought him down. Notice here tonight in verse number 15, and said unto them, notice here, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they convened with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray Christ. Now notice here, why did he sought that opportunity? Because he was looking at the wrong place. He was in the wrong place tonight. He was where he was not supposed to be. And that was with the chief priest. And notice here in verse 15, and he said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. Now notice here, for 30 pieces of silver tonight, did Judas Iscariot betray the Lord Jesus Christ? In Exodus, we see that there is a price of a slave. I want to say tonight, he thought nothing more of Christ than selling him for just a slave tonight. Now I want to say tonight, you say, preacher, I'll never do that. No, you're exactly right. You're betraying him more less than that tonight. We betrayed Christ for much less than just 30 pieces of silver. Now some people say, and I'm not sure about this, but some people say that might have been a day's wages that Judas betrayed Christ for. But to the fact is tonight that he betrayed Christ, he sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver to get gain for himself. Now I want to preach just a few moments tonight on what's Christ worth to you. What's Christ worth to you? Notice here tonight, we've got many young people. I was sitting back there looking in the middle. There's young people like crazy. And it was just a few years ago that I was there myself. And I saw many opportunities to sell Christ out, to go have fun with the boys, to go have just a little bit of fun for the weekend. Now notice here tonight, Judas is doing nothing but the same. For he sold Christ to benefit himself. For he said to the chief priest, his words was, what will you give me? So notice tonight, what's Christ worth to you? If to Judas, he was just worth a slave, 30 pieces of silver. Now notice here tonight, number one, we must look at the reward of Judas. The reward of Judas. For Judas got a reward for betraying Christ. But notice here tonight about his reward. Well, notice first of all that his reward was a worldly reward. For sin tonight, the only reward of sin is a worldly reward. For it'll pleasure for a little bit, for just a small little bit, but then it'll end up costing you. Notice here, Judas wanted to have fun. He wanted to trade Christ to benefit himself. But notice here tonight that Judas never expected it to end up this way. Judas never expected for Christ to be condemned. He never intended on it to go that far. Just like us tonight, we never expect for sin to go that far. You know what Budweiser don't put on their commercials? The after fact. What happens after the reward? Here for a good time. I want to say there's no good time in a Budweiser bottle. For it's full of destruction, sin, and death. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. You know what happened to Judas tonight? He never expected all of this to go through, for he saw Christ. Remember, he traveled with him for 3 years. He saw many times those scribes and Pharisees, they brought in that woman in adultery in John chapter 8 and threw her down at the feet of Jesus and said, Moses in the law commanded such to be stoned, but what sayest thou? And they saw Jesus get out of that. And Jesus said, for ye that is without sin, first cast the first stone. And then they saw the times when even the Pharisees picked up stone to stone Jesus, and Jesus got away from that. And you know tonight, that Judas has all of that in his mind, for he don't forget. And he thought that, you know what, this will benefit me just for a little bit, and then Christ will get out of it, and everything will be all right. But little did he know that his prophecy was about to be fulfilled. Little did he know that Christ was going to the cross, and the blood was going to be on his hands. Now notice here tonight the reward of Judas. It was a worldly reward of coins. For it only lasted a little while. It only satisfied him for a little while. Then he went and he threw it back down. Said, I'm done with it. It took me farther than I wanted to go. It made me feel worse than I've ever felt. And he walked back in and he threw them back down at the chief priest's feet. Notice his reward was a worldly reward, but the Bible tells us in Acts that it was a wicked reward. The reward of sin tonight is always a worldly reward that ends up into a wicked reward. The Bible says in Acts that it was the reward of iniquity. And the Proverbs tells us that the reward of iniquity prospers nothing. So you know what Judas got for his reward? A worldly reward of coins. And he got a wicked reward of corruption. For sin will only bring corruption unto your life. Now notice here tonight, not only was it a worldly reward, but it was a wicked reward, but it was worthless. It was worthless. He got it. And it was exactly what he wanted. All he wanted was those 30 pieces of silver from the chief priest. And he thought he would be living in hog heaven. He thought everything would be all right. I'll have just a little bit of fun for a little while. Is that what not David thought when he saw Bathsheba? And he ended up watching his baby die, watching his friend get killed, and it was on his hands. I want to say tonight that the reward of sin is always going to be a worthless reward. It'll benefit you nothing.
Yes, sir.
And he went back in, and he threw it down
at the feet of the chief priest. It was a worthless reward because his reward brought no comfort. He traded the reward of a crown for a reward of coins. Is that not right preaching tonight? For there's many people, even under this tabernacle, that's trading the reward of a crown for a reward of coins. You know what Judas did? He traded that reward of coins, something that would fade away, and he was going to have nothing to lay down at the feet of Jesus. For he was going to hear, "Depart from me. I never knew you." The saddest words of all the Bible. And it was going to be toward a man that walked with Christ for 3 years. Was going to hear those words, "Depart from me. I never knew you." The reward of Judas. It was also a costly reward. It costed him. Notice what the Bible says that in verse number 23 or verse 3 tonight, 27. Then Judas, which betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest, saying, "I have sinned." Now notice here tonight, it was a costly reward. What did it cost him, preacher? It cost him everything worth living for. That's heaven. For he told the chief priest, he said, "I'll betray him with a kiss." Jesus just got done praying. The Bible said that his sweat become as great drops of blood. For we have redemption through his blood. I want to say tonight, for we have peace. Ephesians says, for he is our peace because of the blood of Christ. Judas betrayed Christ and it cost him heaven. For notice verse 20, or chapter 26 and verse number 49, and forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. He kissed the door of heaven. He also at the same time kicked the door of hell. And I want to say tonight, Judas thought he could have such a party with those 30 pieces of silver. But I want to say tonight, it's no party in hell. He ain't partying with that reward. He ain't getting nothing from that reward, for that reward cost him miserably. Now notice here tonight, not only the reward of Judas, but the remorse of Judas. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3 of Matthew 27. Then Judas, which betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. The remorse of Judas. You know what that word remorse means? Deep regret or guilt. I want to say this about Judas tonight. He had deep regret for his sin. For his sin cost him more than he wanted to pay. Now notice here that his deep regret turned into remorse. Never did Judas repent. For we could say that he repented of himself. And he went to the chief priest. But he never went to Christ and repented. You say, "Preacher, tonight, would God forgave him?" I want to say he would forgive him. And if you don't believe that tonight, you don't believe nothing this brother preached. For God loved him just like he loves me. I want to say tonight that it was God commended his love toward us. He introduced his love to us while we were yet sinners. All of us were sinners and on our way to hell. And we was nothing different than Judas tonight. If God could forgive him, he'll forgive you tonight. Now notice here tonight that his regret turned into remorse. Notice here, remorse of his sin. He felt sorry for his sin. He regretted his sin. And can I say this tonight, whether you're lost or you're saved, the drunk on the street up there in Hendersonville, he'll vouch for this. He regrets the condition he's in. When he goes back home and he sees that mama laying over there in a corner and she's crying, and he hears those babies in the bed crying, "Mama, we're hungry." You better believe that the man's heart regrets the condition he's in. What about that guy that's hooked on heroin? You don't think he regrets the condition he's in? That little bit of reward, that little bit of comfort he was looking for, and that little bag, it now brought him to a place of regret. I can say tonight, I can vouch for this. I got a cousin under the tabernacle tonight that'll vouch for this. He regrets every time that he ever put drugs to his mouth. May be fun back there, but when reality hits, you'll regret it. Now, I want to say to all the young people tonight, is it all right if I preach against the young people tonight? There's one thing our young people need to hear. It's a blistering message about alcohol, drugs, beer, vodka, and wine. It's about the wickedness in this world tonight. I want to say sin will always take you longer, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay, and you'll be crawling back in regret tonight. Judas regret betraying Christ. For he had remorse of his sin. He had remorse of himself. The condition that put him in. The Bible said in James, the wages of sin. Or the Bible says, for the wages of sin and death. The Bible tells us that sin bringeth forth death. So notice here tonight his reward. But notice here tonight that he repented himself. He felt sorry for himself. You know what that word repented himself means? It means to care afterwards. He had no care for when he was in the action. We'll let that sink in just a few moments. He had no care in Matthew 26, verse number 15, when he said, "What will you give me?" He had no regret for that. For he had no regret when he got the bag in his hand. He had no regret when he walked in that garden and kissed the face of Christ. He had no regret. But you know, when he had regret afterwards, when he saw what it truly cost him. Now notice here tonight that Judas regretted his sin. However, he never repented of his sin. The Bible says in Luke 13, verse number 3, "Nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish." I want to say tonight, if you're here lost without God, you'll feel sorry for yourself, but that's going to get you nowhere. You'll regret yourself, but that'll get you nowhere. You got to repent of your sin and ask God to save you and forgive you and come into your heart and get born again. Amen. Judas never did that. Notice here, lastly tonight, we see the results of Judas. Can I say tonight, this reward of sin always will lead to remorse, which will afterward lead to the result of something in your life. Sin will cost you. It don't matter how small it is or how big it is. Sin will cost you miserably. And I want to say tonight, it's a dangerous thing when somebody tiptoes around sin. Now notice here the result of Judas. And it did not have to be the result. You say, "Preacher, I don't know if I believe that tonight." I want to say tonight, you don't have to die and go to hell.
That's right.
The Bible says that he's not slack concerning his promise, but that all should come to repentance.
Right.
Tonight, church, the result of your life can end different than the result of Judas.
Amen.
You may be in sin tonight, and you may have remorse of your sin, but you're looking at somebody tonight that his results is now different.
Right.
"For I've not been saved, I've been bought.
I've been born again. God put a new man inside of me. I want to say tonight, I hear many people say that I'm saved by God's grace. I want to go a little deeper than that. Have you been born again? Has God put a new man inside of you? The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things has passed away, and behold, all is become new. You're looking at a man that's 27 years old, and I've not been living long because I got born again by God's grace. Those past years are behind me. They're under the blood. Oh, but only Jesus knows is the new man. The Bible said, if any man sin, know that he has an advocate with the Father. I want to say tonight, I've got an adversary. He is the old devil. But more than that, I've got an advocate with the Father, and his name's Jesus Christ. And when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, my advocate will step in, my legal representative at the throne room of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll step in and said, his blood is covered by my blood. His sin has been borne on Calvary's cross before the foundation of the world. I want to say tonight, Calvary, that was no accident, but he was slain before the foundation of the world. Notice here tonight that your results don't have to end up the way of Judas. There's many people tonight that has a testimony. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 about Enoch, and his testimony was this: he pleased God. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 5, and I'm hurrying, Brother John, he lived 65 years. Then he begot Methuselah. Then you know what the Bible says in the next verse? And he walked with God after he begot Methuselah. You know what Methuselah was? His child. I got two children, 3-year-old and a 10-month-old. You know what they are? They're a gift from God. I want to say tonight, you can't walk with God until you receive the gift of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, there it is, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your result don't have to end up the way Judas' result was. Notice here about his result, and I'm done right here. His result of Judas was that he was helpless. Notice verse number 4 of Matthew 27, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is it to us? See thou to that. He went and repented to the chief priest, and they left him helpless. I want to say tonight, you can repent to this preacher. You can repent to John Morgan. But you'll be helpless. Judas was helpless because he repented to the wrong one. There's only one that can forgive sins. And his name's Jesus. Can I say, is he not worth shouting for tonight? He's the only one that could wipe my sin debt away. And Judas, what is he doing? He was with Christ 3 years. He missed the whole picture. Some of you have been in church longer than that, 20 years, 30 years, you've missed the whole picture. It's more than just religion. It's more than just religion. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Judas asked the question, the same as that woman at the well. You know what the question was? How is it? I want to say it's by grace, through faith, plus nothing or minus nothing. Your works won't save you. What Judas was doing wasn't going to save him. Notice here his resort was helpless. Not only that, it was hopeless. Notice here that Judas turned. Notice here that Judas turned to the chief priest. Not only that, he turned to suicide. And I want to say here tonight that true repentance turns to the Savior and not to suicide. You may be facing something tonight that only you know about. You wouldn't want to dare tell anybody. I want to say you've got to turn to Jesus. For true repentance turns to the Savior
But Judas turned to suicide. Notice here what the Bible says in verse number 5. And he cast out the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter number 1 in verse number 18 tonight. I want to say here that his result was a nasty result. There wasn't nothing pretty about what he did. There wasn't nothing pretty about the result. Notice here that his result, that he hanged himself. Verse number 18 of Acts chapter 1. Now this man, talking about Judas, purchased a field with the reward. Notice they talk about his reward of iniquity. And fallen, notice here the Bible explains his death. And fallen headlong, he burst asunder. And the mist in all of his bowels gushed out. The insides of him busted out. He's laying in his own guts and his own blood because of the result of sin. And I want to say tonight, that ain't a pretty picture. And the result of your sin away from Christ, it's not going to be a pretty picture. Not only was he helpless, was he hopeless. Hanged himself, but lastly tonight, hell was his home. He had all the opportunities with Christ. For he was there when Christ said, "Whom do the people say that I am?" Some said John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets. Then he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter spoke up and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven." And he said, "Upon this rock," talking about Christ, he said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Judas was there. Judas was there when he fed the 5,000. Judas was there with the woman of the issue of blood. Judas was there when he walked in and touched that little girl's head and she rose up from the dead. Judas was there when he walked into the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." He was there. But lastly, the result of Judas, hell, was his home. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 24, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written to him, but woe," warning, "but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." You say, "Preacher, how do you know he went to hell?" Notice here what Jesus said. "It had been good for that man if he had not been born." I can't think tonight of nothing so bad of me not being born than for me dying and going to hell. For I've had hard times. I've had trials. But he has always been there. Amen. And I want to say tonight that I can't think of nothing that wouldn't be worth being born instead of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and dying and going to hell. You say, "Preacher, life ends at the grave." No, it don't. Luke chapter 16, the rich man, he was crying. He cried from hell. He cried from that place. You know what? Judas is there hearing him cry now. For Judas is hearing. He's hearing the cry. You know what he's doing? Probably he's probably crying out, "Have mercy on me." You know what? His prayers never going to be heard. His prayers never going to be answered. Because of the result of sin. Now I want to ask you tonight under this tabernacle, what condition are you in? What have you traded Christ for? Judas traded him for 30 pieces of silver. Just a slave was all he was worth to Judas. To the people that spit in his face, he was nothing more than the dirt they walked on to get there to see him.
Now you find in Matthew chapter 26, at the latter part of that chapter, you read about a man called Peter. For he was a disciple, for he traveled with Christ, and he heard the teaching of Christ. And Jesus said to him at the dinner table, he said, before the cock crows, thou would deny me thrice. So not only tonight do we see that Judas betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver, and we see his result, that he was helpless, hopeless, he hanged himself, and hell was his home. But I want to say tonight, God, before this foundation of the world, he put Peter there. And he knew what Peter was going to do. He knew Peter was going to betray him. But you know what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 7? For he is precious. I want to say tonight that he got forgiven of his sin. Who was it that preached on the day of Pentecost? Who was it that went to that man in Acts chapter number 4, and he said, silver and gold have I none. He said, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I want to say tonight, your result don't have to end up like Judas, for you can be a Peter in the making. And you can say tonight, for he is precious. Peter talked about four things in 1 Peter, that book of 1 Peter. He said, for his blood is precious. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Then you find 1 Peter chapter 2. He said that his stone, the cornerstone, he said, is precious. He said, his blood's precious that bought me. He said, but when he bought me, he put me on a foundation. And he said, my foundation is precious. And then he said in verse number 7, he said that in verse number 6. But he said in verse number 7, he said, for he is precious. Beyond the blood of Christ, which is very necessary. But above the foundation, which is very necessary. But he, before his blood, before his foundation, he's precious. If he don't do nothing for me, he's precious. Then he talked about his precious faith in 2 Peter chapter number 1. He talked about his faith he had in Christ, that it was precious. Then down a few verses from 2 Peter chapter number 1, you know what he said? He said, precious promises. I want to say tonight, your result don't have to end up like Judas. For you can be a Peter. You can have that precious blood. That sure foundation that's precious. You can have him, for he's precious. You can have that precious faith, for without faith it is impossible to please him. But more than that, tonight you can have those precious promises. You know what those precious promises are? They're in John chapter 14. When he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go, there he may be also. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, but I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I go, there you may be also. Thomas said, we know not where thou goest, and how shall we know the way? Oh, Jesus, I'm thankful he never left me hanging. He never left Thomas hanging. Peter was there. He said, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to say tonight, what's your result going to end up? Will you be a Peter in the making? Brother John.
Well, thank God. That's good preaching. I wasn't trying to rush you up. We started playing the piano. He said, Lastwin closed his Bible. I said, Brother Shane, he's been hanging around me and you too long. You close the Bible, don't mean a thing. Say amen right there. Amen. Let's stand all over the building tonight. If God's dealt with you, I want you to come. I want you to pray. Maybe you could sing us one verse or something. We'll go change over the service. Give us about 5 minutes. I'll give you a chance to pray. always good giving music. You mind? We're not gonna linger, but we're gonna receive a love offering. I wasn't gonna take time to receive a love offering tonight, but if we don't, I think I'll miss the will of God. So we're not gonna beg and pump prime. If you don't give, give. If you don't, don't. Bible said, "Lord, love the church."